In April of 2020, the unemployment rate in Syracuse, New York spiked to an unheard of 17%.
I think that it's been widely covered and widely understood that there is a staffing shortage.
The nature of work is changing. The pandemic has made a lot of people do remote work.
The facts, the figures, the stories of our community.
We're looking at ourselves as a city and ourselves as workers in a different way.
This is City Limits, a working dilemma.
Welcome to City Limits. I'm Taryn Mento. Summer is still a few weeks away, but Central New Yorkers got a sneak peek in mid-May. The temperature shot up to the 80s, perfect sunny weather for a day at the pool or the playground. But the city of Syracuse's Parks, Recreation, and Youth Programs staff was trying to draw people inside. The department's job fair in the community center across from Meacham Park was in full swing. They were hoping to find dozens of new staffers. Aquatics manager Tyler Montressor says they're in the market for 150 lifeguards.
And we are struggling to reach that number.
The hiring event was the last in May. They already had two in March.
So I was hoping with the job fairs that we'd be able to really ramp up.
About halfway through the event, staff flipped through the applications.
So there are 12.
12 applicants.
Is that a good outcome?
Today?
Jessica Deer jumped in. She's the park commissioner's secretary.
I would say it is acceptable for the wonderful, beautiful weather that there is outside.
Exactly.
Because everybody is out in our parks enjoying all we have to offer.
And Commissioner Julie LaFave says all they have to offer this summer requires dozens of seasonal staffers.
Lifeguards or summer aides, and it's summer aide is a very generic title, but it could be somebody who is working what's called our mobile rec, meaning they're in a vehicle going out to all the parks. It could be somebody who's working our special events, they're setting up that movie screen, or they're renting out the kayaks. I mean, if somebody wants to work, and we're flexible with the hours, because some of those positions are weekends only, some of those positions are night times only, some of them are daytime only. Somebody only wants 20 hours a week, we can make that happen.
But she says the applications have been slow to come in.
In my 15 years of working in New York State for three municipalities, it has continued to become harder and harder, but never to this extent.
For example, most city employees are required to live within Syracuse, but the Parks Department gets special permission every year to help hire enough lifeguards.
It has always been, I mean, if you go pull up headlines from 10 years ago, you'll see that there was lifeguard shortages. You can't go any single summer without seeing county parks, Village North Syracuse, whoever, name it, or private country clubs desperate for lifeguards, they have to cut hours. Like, that's not a new story.
This season goes beyond that.
The extent we're seeing it this year, though, is new.
Hiring is a challenge across the board as employers are recovering from the pandemic. You've seen the wanted ads and heard about the sign-on bonuses. But the challenge is hitting local government agencies a bit harder. Federal data shows private sector employment is down less than 0.5% compared to pre-pandemic levels. But it's bigger for the public sector. State governments are down 2%, and local governments are down 4%. The situation isn't exactly unexpected. Mike Maciag, research officer for Pew Charitable Trusts, says governments had a hard time hiring after the Great Recession hit in 2008.
Similar thing happened. Government job growth lagged far behind the private sector, and nationally it took, it was more than a decade for total state and local government to return to its prior peak.
And the COVID-19 pandemic brought a similar blow, but Maciag says back during the Great Recession, the driving force was a lack of funds.
Following the Great Recession, revenues were suppressed for years and governments, they simply didn't have the budgets to hire. So it's really primarily a budgetary issue.
But it's a little different this time around.
Now, by and large, it's not that governments don't want to hire staff or don't have the budgets to do so. It's just that they face a lot of challenges in both recruitment and retaining employees. The job openings rate for state and local government has climbed significantly over more than a year now, and recent rates are the highest they've been since at least 2001.
Syracuse's chief operating officer, Corey Driscoll Dunham, says the trouble filling jobs could disrupt summer programming.
You know, I think the clearest example of that is the challenge that Parks has had in attracting lifeguards and other water safety staff, because that might impact our ability to open all the pools and provide all the services.
Services people rely on.
The swimming lessons that we provide to folks, the open swim, the making the pools available to some of our, adult recreation leagues and just the sheer number of pools that we'll be able to open this year. I mean, that's really a challenge when you just can't attract enough people to deliver the services that we want to deliver and that residents expect us to deliver.
It happened earlier this year. Trash pickup was delayed across the city.
WAER's Tessa Howard tells us how impatient residents are taking the problem into their own hands.
Garbage piled up at homes.
The bins are overflowing at Isaac Williams' house.
I run out of places to put my trash because if it's not picked up, now I have, still creating trash for my house.
You know, a lot of that was a little bit more fleet related, the difficulty getting the vehicles up and running, but there were some staffing issues in there as well. And so it's when it starts to impact our ability to deliver services that people count on and rely on us for, that's really where, it is concerning and a disappointment all around for us as well.
LaVave says her team at Parks and Rec is trying to avoid that.
I don't want to say our staff internally have suffered, but they've certainly taken the brunt. But Parks and Recreation is unique in that the people who are passionate in this field, we'd like to become kind of a jack of all trades and we're willing to help each other out. I mean, everybody in this building's probably worked a shift at the golf course, even if they don't even know how to golf. Not that they can't step in to be a lifeguard, but they can step in to help out in a lot of ways. So we just take it on our shoulders and we try to limit that impact as much as we can.
People are sometimes pulling double duty to fill any gaps.
You can reserve it online, and then the request will come through to me. And then
Brittany Farmer is handling a permit reservation over the phone.
The permit fee would be $50 for every
Someone called about booked. Thorndon Park on the city's east side.
Okay, no problem.
She also manages Hi. The city's special events.
Oh, everybody listening to my phone voice? You know I hate my phone voice.
She oversees the big street fairs that take over downtown. Crawfish Festival, the Taste of Syracuse, that's a big one. A handwritten list of the events hangs next to her desk.
So these are all of the events you've got coming up this summer, correct?
Yes, a bunch of them.
A bunch of them, so not a complete list.
Not the complete list, no.
Why not?
I don't want to look at the complete list. It's scary. No, the complete list I keep over here on the wall, those are my big downtown ones, so...
But pulling off community events, big and small, but definitely big, requires a lot of people power.
How are you doing and having the staff you need to execute all these?
Staff I need. Well, I need grounds to have the staff that I need. No, I rely heavily on the grounds department for staffing to help facilitate all of those. So not necessarily staff that work directly under me Monday through Friday. I usually just pull from them for weekend work.
The ground staff physically executes the events.
Closing streets down, setting out trash cans, moving things around with forklifts. And then during the duration of the event, it's mostly just picking up trash from the general public as well as from the vendors and then cleaning up after the end and making it look like we were never there.
And so does grounds, so then you're focused on the staffing and the recruitment of a department that's not even, that you don't even
nope.
oversee.
Yep.
How's that going?
I mean, so far I haven't seen much of an effect that we aren't able to do what we need to do because we have those reliable full-timers that will always show up and help out. So,
yeah, Farmer is one of those reliable full-timers. Grounds was short-staffed at the recent Crawfish Festival. It's a celebration of the aforementioned crustacean. Plus, vendors are also slinging shrimp, clams, beignets, gumbo, booze. This year, they didn't have enough people to keep the trash bins from overflowing. So Farmer stepped in and took on an 8-hour shift.
Pulling trash from trash can behind every food vendor. We are not afraid to get our hands dirty and help.
And how enjoyable was that?
I had a great time with the staff that I was working with.
And she's not the only one stepping up.
No, but I mean, he's an example of, in addition to others, of when we're short-staffed, he's out there this morning.
Recreation Supervisor Trevor Wallace recently showed up to work out of breath and a little sweaty. He had stopped by the city's Meacham Park to check out the softball fields.
And so is this your...
Do you want to hear it? Doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, you're fine. Okay. No, is this your regular job responsibility?
Kind of. I mean, like, you know, like, it's not just, like, helping out, you know, because, like, we have, like, the softball league starting tonight. It's kind of down there, you know, like, when the mowers, you know, the contractor, the grass is a little high, so there's a lot of dead grass, you know, there. So just, you know, kind of hooked up a lawn sweeper, just trying to make it look nicer for the park in general and then, you know, just, like, better for, you know, softball teams.
Parks is not the only local department facing the struggle. The Syracuse Police Department has been citing recruitment and retention as a major problem. The city school district changed class start times when their contractor didn't have enough bus drivers. And it's not even just Syracuse. The issue is hitting cities, counties, and states all over the country. Five of the nation's biggest government groups are actually calling on Congress to invest in workforce development. The National League of Cities, U.S. Conference of Mayors, National Conference of State Legislatures, International City and County Management Association, and the National Association of Counties. They all issued a statement citing infrastructure jobs as their biggest concern. So, what gives?
Taking a deeper dive into some of the underlying factors here.
Mike Maciag again, he's with Pew.
So disparities in wage growth is certainly a significant factor. Throughout last year, wage growth for private sector workers far outpaced that of state and local government employees.
This is different from what we saw after the Great Recession. Back then, the public sector saw strong wage growth before the private sector. But now we're seeing an unprecedented gap in pay between the two.
We found differences in year-over-year growth rates for hourly wage costs were actually the largest on record, dating back nearly four decades.
A survey by Mission Square Research Institute earlier this year polled 1,100 government workers. Just more than half said they were thinking of leaving their jobs, primarily because of pay issues.
And public sector wage growth isn't just showing the private sector, it's of course also not keeping up with inflation. So looking back further, since before the pandemic, you know, state and local wages are down significantly after accounting for inflation.
Burnout was actually the second leading factor. But Syracuse's chief operating officer, Driscoll Dunham, says compensation was a key focus in the city's recent union contract negotiations.
We've just negotiated almost all of our labor contracts, and all of those labor contracts included raises. And so the administration worked with the unions to say, you know, we know that talent attraction is a challenge for the people in this particular unit. How can we try to address that? How can we try to, make sure that the salaries that we're offering are as competitive as they can be given the constraints that we're working under?
While most workers polled by DC-based Mission Square said improving salaries would boost retention, offering bonuses ranked second. But Maciag says the challenge is governments aren't as well positioned as a private company to offer incentives.
And this varies a lot depending on, you know, what level, what particular government you're talking about. But in a lot of cases, you know, an HR director for a government can't just issue bonuses or raise wages. They have to get, you know, it requires approval from elected officials, whereas the private sector can respond a lot faster. And so a lot of this comes down to the private sector can just be much more nimble.
But he says there are governments charging through the bureaucracy to gain an edge.
You know, in some cases, we've even seen hiring bonuses being touted as a way to lure workers away from other governments. I know in Florida, for instance, they propose incentives there to recruit police officers to the state.
Syracuse police did something similar. The agency advertised up to $10,000 hiring bonuses for officers that moved over from another department.
I've also seen some other examples of governments establishing partnerships with universities to develop talent.
Driscoll Dunham says that's also a route the city is pursuing.
Syracuse University, Lemoyne, OCC, we haven't necessarily always reached out to them to say, hey, we need lifeguards, we need rec aides, we need people that are willing to work for us for the summer. But that's a path that we have gone down this year, in part because we've had so many difficulties attracting talent.
They're having to repost jobs and search for new sites to advertise them. They targeted some professional associations to publish a transportation planner role they've been struggling to fill.
I actually just had a check-in with the supervisor for that position last week, and he said, you know, we reposted it. We went to some new places to try and get the word out there, and we have gotten, you know, more resumes in, which is great because, the we're still accepting them. So, you know, it's kind of a, it's not the end of the road yet, but to see that there is interest out there, if you just can connect to the right people, is encouraging.
And there are a few more signs that spell hope. Aquatics manager Tyler Montressor says the department is teaming up with Nottingham High School to train up more lifeguard candidates.
So we partnered with the school district to get people to become lifeguards last minute.
They unexpectedly arranged lifeguard training to prepare teens for employment opportunities.
June 13th through 17th, it costs $41. It's open to anyone.
2 weeks before it's due to start, the class is full. 50 people signed up and 10 are on the waiting list. The Parks Department is working to schedule another bonus class. But there is no guarantee trainees will pursue a job at one of the city's pools. Commissioner LaFave says they've been let down before.
They may come to our job fair. They may even get the job offer letter, but they're just not responding or they change their mind.
But LaFave says she's not in panic mode yet.
Just want to deliver. I want to deliver at the high expectation that we want to deliver at. But we've had to make a lot of tough decisions over the years, and right now it's too early to say if or what those decisions may be for this year, but we might have to. But it'll just, if I could tell anybody anything, we don't make any decision quickly or lightly and without assessing every single angle that we can. We don't just quickly cancel or decrease hours or decrease staff. We don't ever quickly do it because we realize, especially the city of Syracuse needs our programming.
She has the veteran full-time staff to pull off the big downtown festivals that get a lot of attention and to fill any other gaps here and there. But her biggest worry is whether they can recruit a seasonal staff to keep up with the events for kids on summer vacation.
Well, I mean, look at the national headlines. City of Syracuse is struggling. Highest child poverty rate. We have some crime. We need to be out there serving people the best we can.
They plan days of activities at pools and parks to keep young people entertained, from arts and crafts to playing chase on a playground. The kids are supervised and they get a lunch.
We are an escape in many ways, and we want to continue that. We're a safe space, too.
They just need the staff to pull it off. It's that emphasis on youth that drew 16-year-old Minaj Green to the Parks and Rec's job fair.
My mom showed me a flyer for it, and she asked me if I wanted to do it, so I said yeah. So, like, yeah, here I am.
Okay, sure, yeah. His mother did tell him about it. She saw it on Facebook, but he showed up.
Parks and Rec, overall, why does that interest you out of any other opportunity that's out there?
This is, like, a youth program, and I feel like I'm, like, a good influence on people that's younger than me, so, like, I feel like I'd be, like, a good fit for, like, whatever I do in here.
He says he doesn't want to see other young people getting into trouble.
My siblings, other people, too. I just don't, like, want people to, like, go down, like, bad road and, like, be something bad. Child, like, making you good. Yeah.
What kind of bad influences are around Syracuse that makes you worry for younger kids?
Like, people doing drugs, like, shooting and stuff, robbing people. Like, I want them to, like, stay away from that type of stuff. So, like, I try to, like, push them to, like, go to school or, like, do something with their life.
His eyes peruse the list of openings on the paper in front of him. He zeroed in on a team leader job, someone who entertains kids at playgrounds and pools. So he put pen to paper and filled out his information. He says he's still hoping to hear back. In the meantime, Parks and Rec is moving forward with opening their outdoor pools. They plan to open 5, but they actually have 8. They aren't sure yet if they'll have enough employees to open the other 3. They haven't had to do that in recent years. For City Limits, I'm Taryn Mento.
Thanks for listening to City Limits, a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media. You can find more about the project and listen to archived episodes at citylimitsproject.org.